This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Freddie Bell. Thank you for joining us this weekend on New Beginnings in our second week of May. And spring has actually sprung. And with us right now is our co-host on the program, Mr. Joe McKenzie. He is the founder of Ripple Connects. He turns candidates into contenders. The plain old telephone system, 763-438-1621. Good morning, Joe McKenzie, and welcome back.
Good morning, Freddie Bell. How are you?
Unbelievable. Glad you're with us this weekend. And we had, last couple of weeks, a great conversation about leveraging the job market, taking advantage of technology and so forth. But now we want to go back in history. We want to look at the historical hiring trends. And I'm wondering, Joe, if due to the pandemic, what's going to happen with this year's hiring trend? What are you seeing? What might be different than in most years? What has your research and your intelligence been telling you?
Well, from what I've been able to ascertain in regards to what's happening with the reopening economy, every state's going to be a little different because of the level of vaccines and the people that are able to be impacted by that. But historically, many of the jobs, you know, the hiring times are that first quarter of every year. A lot of times in the fall, you know, people would get hired, and then the spring and summer would be slower. And, you know, maybe employers would be out at the colleges and, you know, working there. But this year, all bets are off. Everything's going to look different. And really why I want to bring this forward to the New Beginnings listeners is this year's different than most years, that most of the hiring did not occur in the first quarter of this year. There was, but it wasn't the emphasis on that because of the pandemic, as it was still closed down. So just making our listeners aware that hiring may take place in the second and third quarter, which equates to the spring and summer of this year, that don't take the summer off. Mm-hmm. And that's the key takeaway. Be ready for just about anything, because we are experiencing something we've never experienced before in all of our adult lives, is that the economy is reopening after completely shutting down, and there will be a pent-up demand in some industries to hire good people. So I'm going to reinforce, don't take the summer off, because that's the way it looked 2 years ago when you were looking for a job, that it's the quiet time of the year. That's not the case this year, because everything is going to be fluid. And a job seeker needs to bring a high level of finesse to make sure that they leverage new opportunities that could come about at any moment.
Everybody, we're talking with Joe McKenzie. We're talking about historical hiring trends and some key things that our job seekers should be aware of. And this is not just for the baby boomers. This is also for folks who are just out of college and they're getting into the job market. Is that right?
Absolutely. If you just graduated in May from college, you may be in a position to get a job very quickly in the summer or leading into fall, when often that time is spent, you know, just kind of resetting for the next year. All ages are going to be in a position to gain opportunities as it reopens. We have to be ready. You know, staying close. Here's a couple different things. Stay in close contact with your advocates, your network. Mm-hmm. Don't take six weeks off and say nothing to somebody. Change, adapt, bring a high level of finesse to your job search. Find ways to stay in contact with your network. Let them know what you're looking for. They become essentially your eyes and ears out there for either advertised or unadvertised jobs. And obviously, watch the trends on what's happening. We're seeing a lot of changes to different industries, Freddie. We talked about it in the last few weeks about, you know, employers are looking for transferable skills, you know, the communication skills, just the mere fact that more companies are working remotely, that you got to be, that communication transferable skill is highly sought after. Now let's overlay customer service and communicating with customers that we'll never see. That is something that is also sought after, and companies that need people in customer service, but also just communicating with their stakeholders. Keep an eye on the trends.
Mm-hmm.
Read, ask your network, what are they seeing? Is it e-commerce? Is it, Is it the tech industry, renewable energy, you know, healthcare? Stay a part of the trends and see what's opening up. And more importantly, know that you have to be prepared, be practiced, and be flexible, because this summer is going to look different than any other summer that's occurred in the last many, many, many years. So be prepared, be practiced, and be flexible. And what I mean by that is just be aware of what's going to go on. Be practiced. Don't wait to practice your interview skills until you get a job interview. We don't do that enough in our career to be that efficient at it. So be practiced. Test your technology with your friends. Make sure that your technology, your webcam, your camera, your internet connection is sound, because if virtual interviews are going to take place, you better be ready there. But be practiced. Talk about, if someone, you know, practice with your friends. Ask them, what was your most significant accomplishment in the past year? Mm-hmm. And they should be able to proficiently tell you what that is and how they arrived at that. That's practice. We don't practice enough. You never wing an interview. You never wing an interview unless you're prepared to live with the outcome of what you don't want. And just be flexible, knowing that if you're going to have some summertime off or a vacation, you may get a call for an employer, and you have to be able to adapt, have that high level of finesse to make sure that the summer of 2021, you're ready.
I've been told that for a person who's seeking a new opportunity, if they're trying to stay connected with their network, that they need to keep two things with them, one or two or both, either your cellular device or some type of computer, so that you can instantly connect.
Absolutely. You never know when a certain industry is hitting a hiring spurt and they are going to start filling that queue with people they want to talk to. You don't want to be the one that didn't get back to them.
That would
and
be a bad thing.
Being prepared, but also being ready. Don't wait until that employer calls and then call your friend to say, I need to practice. Do that practicing now. Integrate that practicing of interviewing into your conversations with your advocates or your bench of advocates. That makes it more natural to talk about, hey, my most significant accomplishment last year was this, being able to lead a nonprofit through the pandemic, but also adapting some of our community outreach into virtual, but also keeping all our stakeholders up to date with what we're doing. You know, you have to be comfortable talking about your accomplishments and, more importantly, how it relates to what those companies need. Being practiced is critical this summer.
Is there a list of questions or a list of statements that we should find answers to in order to help us in having this practice routine down, maybe some key questions that we should try to find the answers and then be able to repeat those in a job interview or a job opportunity setting?
I think the main ones are knowing we're going to have to be able to talk about our significant accomplishments, our time or talent, expertise or emotional intelligence or experience, some of the challenges that we've taken on. But we should never forget that some of the most important moments of a job interview are questions that we develop for the interviewer. And that is something we need to develop. And we shouldn't just go to the internet and print those off. We should be able to talk about opportunity, drill down a little bit. And those are the types of questions that you should start preparing too, the questions for the interviewer. And I've often said that those jobs that we're looking at, hopefully they involve some kind of challenges that equate to growth, and let, you know, develop your questions from there, Freddie. And I think if we just keep it one-sided, ready to answer questions, and we don't develop our own questions, we may step into an opportunity that doesn't deliver growth and we're unhappy a year and a half later. So it's two-part, knowing how to answer that, talk about your significant accomplishments and how you overcame challenges, but also make sure you can unearth and basically discern if this is a good opportunity for you. Don't take it at face value there. You make sure that you know what you're stepping into. And I think that's another way you can prepare this summer. Develop your own set of questions to unearth if this is a good opportunity for yourself at this point in your career.
All right. That's Joe McKenzie, the founder of Ripple Connects. He turns candidates into contenders. And is there one final thought? We only have about 10 seconds left. I don't know if you can give a final thought in 10 seconds that we should take with us this weekend.
Historical hiring trends are off the table this year. You could get a call right after 4th of July to come in for an interview, which wouldn't be typical years. Be ready, be prepared, be practiced, and be flexible.
That's Joe McKenzie, and this is New Beginnings.
If you are ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. That's RippleConnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. For more information, RippleConnects.com.
Minnesotans age 16 and older are eligible to get a COVID-19 vaccine. All three vaccines, Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson, protect you from COVID-19. It takes 2 weeks after your final dose for your body to build up protection. To get your shot, contact your healthcare provider, local pharmacy, or visit vaccineconnector.mn.gov. You can also call 833-431-2053. This message from KMLJ and the Minnesota Department of Health. And now it's time for this week's Point of Focus.
Quantum physics and psychology have proven conclusively that you get what you expect. If you expect something different will happen.
This is life and enterprise management.
I love living. I think that's infectious. It's something that you can't fake.
This time of year, I enjoy watching birds hop around in the fresh grass looking for worms, seeds, and other delights. I get enthusiastic about that. That's our point of focus, enthusiasm. I get a sense of enthusiasm when I see squirrels bounce excitedly from tree to tree or seeing a young dog run across an open field. These shows of natural enthusiasm remind me of life's simple joys. Although I may have more concerns than a bird, a squirrel, or a young dog, I can still greet each day with enthusiasm and an eagerness to appreciate life in every way possible. You can do it too. If you begin your day with a thought of gratitude, you open the door to a life filled with good and enthusiasm. Look forward to what each day holds, knowing that your enthusiasm will only increase. With this thought in mind, you can be enthusiastic about what lies ahead for the day. If you'd like to learn more, all you have to do is visit me at www.freddiebell.com or call 888-639-9738. Or you can reach me by email. It's freddie@freddiebell.com. freddie@freddiebell.com. Visit my all-new freddiebell.com website. Get up close and personal with me as a speaker, motivator, and broadcaster. Read what others have to say when they've hired me as a keynote speaker and presenter. And learn why I'm the authority on the power of focus. Download the marketing kit or contact me directly at 888-639-9738. When you're there, stop by my all-new Freddie Bell Show webpage at freddiebell.com. freddiebell.com. Information, motivation, innovation, and more.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back. And with me right now, and I have to say that she's becoming a regular on our program, and we're excited about that. We're talking with the Vaccine Outreach Director for the state of Minnesota's COVID-19 Vaccine Response Team. She's leading it, Elizabeth Ebolt. Good morning. Glad you're with us.
Thanks, Freddie. The excitement is mutual.
Well, super. There are a lot of things going on in the state of Minnesota right now with regard to vaccine. And I've been seeing news about the mobile vaccination unit. Can you tell us more about that and how and why is it rolling?
Yes, certainly. So after a lot of anticipation this past week, the state launched our mobile vaccination units that will be servicing communities statewide. This launch, it's a partnership between the MDH between Blue Cross Blue Shield, Metro Transit, and the Met Council, and the Minnesota Department of Transportation. So we have retrofitted 6 buses that meet ADA requirements that will be an important tool for us to be able to vaccinate vulnerable and underserved populations statewide. And the purpose behind these buses is really to continue bringing vaccine into the communities. We want to make sure that there are the lowest barriers possible to accessing the vaccine. And it's been shown through our work over the last few months that bringing them into community really helps bridge that gap. So we're starting with 2 mobile vaccination units that will be offering vaccines in the metro area up to 1 hour outside of the metro. And we'll be increasing to 6 total buses, like I said, by the summer. They'll operate Monday through Thursday, and each bus will be able to vaccinate about 150 people per day. We figure out locations for these buses based off our own statewide demographic data, our vaccine and testing data, but also in partnership with community-based organizations that are well-informed on where the need is. So community-based organizations can actually request a mobile vaccination unit. They can do that by visiting www.health.state.mn.us/diseases/coronavirus/vaccine. And that is our pathway to then requesting a mobile vaccine unit to be set up at a community-based organization. So we'll continue working with community partners to promote each mobile vaccination unit and ultimately help drive participants to their location.
Interesting. Everybody, we're talking with Elizabeth Ebalt. She is the vaccine coordinator for the state of Minnesota. And I'm just curious, with the relationships that you have with Walmart, Sam's Clubs, and so forth, different pharmacies throughout the state, why is it important to have a mobile vaccine unit as well?
Yes. And I think that we have found success in having as many pathways as possible to a vaccine as we can. So it's great that we have these partnerships with these large scales national chains. It's great that we have partnerships with smaller scale pharmacies and clinics. It's great that we have partnerships with health systems and, of course, our state-run sites and local public health, all of that. But what we have seen and what we're hearing in community is that as much as we can bring vaccines to locations that people feel very comfortable, that people are familiar with, that people are going to anyways for other services, as much as we can incorporate that into our strategy, it will help us get to that herd immunity that we all cannot wait for.
Wow. Good information. And I'm just getting notice right now that the president of the United States has relaxed the mask mandate for people being outside in large areas, not so much on the inside. Can you expand upon that? Have you gotten that news?
I did get that news. And what I know as of now is that, yes, I think we all are looking forward to things that we can do and not anymore things that we cannot do.
Yes.
I get that. Of course, we're still proceeding with caution, but what the CDC is saying is that for those who are vaccinated, you can feel safe and comfortable to be outdoors without your mask on when you're biking or running or socializing with a small number of other people who are also vaccinated. That's as much as I know right now. And I think that we can expect as our vaccination numbers increase and we get more information about the efficacy of these vaccines, we'll certainly get more information like this.
We're also learning that close to 90% of the available vaccine in the state of Minnesota has been distributed. And you're also expanding that base now with 16-year-olds and over across the state of Minnesota.
That's right. We are. We have really launched part of our Roll Up Your Sleeves Minnesota campaign is highlighting that our youngest vaccine eligible Minnesotans are highlighting our youngest vaccine eligible Minnesotans, which are 16 and 17 year old. And so we are encouraging them, working with community partners that work closely with youth and with other programming, community programming, to really encourage them to do their part in this vaccination process and go out and get a vaccine. So this week in particular, we were prioritizing appointments for 16 and 17 year olds at our Mall of America community vaccination site. and registering for that site, our youth can go online, can go to the MDH website, click on a direct link to the Mall of America site and sign up for an appointment, or call the number that's listed there to book an appointment over the phone. We're also encouraging them to come with their parents and caregivers to also get vaccinated, so it can be a full family effort to be part of this solution.
It's interesting. So a lot of people are hearing our conversation right now on May 1st. What happens after May 1st with this super emphasis on 16 and 17 year olds?
After May 1st, it continues. This was really just the start of this campaign, of this push. We will continue doing the same and saving appointments and prioritizing vaccination appointments for our 16 and 17 year olds and their parents. So this will continue until, again, we reach our metrics and reach our thresholds for wanting to get as many Minnesotans as possible vaccinated.
Can you talk about the trials for people who are under 16? I know that maybe a month or two ago, we were hearing that babies and 5-year-olds were involved in trials and their parents were happy to do that if it would take care of making sure that people were safe across the country. Do you have an update on people who are younger than 16?
You know, I'm still getting information from a lot of our internal researchers and subject matter experts on that, actually. So I don't have any more information other than that. Yes, we know that there are parents that were very enthusiastic to participate and have their children participate to get a better understanding, again, of how these vaccines work in children, because we know the outcomes have been quite different with that age group. So more information will be coming on that, certainly.
Everyone, we're with Elizabeth Ebalt. She is the Vaccine Outreach Director for the state of Minnesota's COVID-19 Vaccine Response Team. And I'm just curious, the state fair is a buzz with people coming in and out of the state fair getting their vaccines. How is that working for those specific zip codes to the state fair?
Yes. And last time when we spoke, Freddie, we were really just launching our state fair site. And I'm really happy to say that we've been working hard to encourage people to head to that location and get vaccinated. And we've been seeing a lot of success. But I do want to mention that we've been making some big and important changes to how that site operates to increase and encourage further participation. First, people can now directly book appointments for the state fair site either online by going to our COVID-19 community vaccination page on the MDH website, where they'll see a link to the primary bio registration and sign up online, or they can call 833-431-2053 to book an appointment over the phone. I should also note that that's the same for all of our semi-permanent and permanent sites. You can now either book them online or call the assigned numbers for each of those locations. Next, as of this week, we've also opened up the state fair site for walk-in and same-day appointments. We are also continuing to prioritize our high SVI zip codes, but also as of this week, no one will be turned away if they go to the state fair site. So even if you're not in one of those eligible zip codes, you can still walk up to the state fair site and get an appointment. And lastly, we've made it so that every appointment at the state fair site, you'll get a downloadable Metro Transit bus pass to then be able to get to the site for free. And also Metro Mobility is offering free rides to those users to the state fair site.
Wonderful innovations. We're out of time. Elizabeth Ebalt, I can't thank you enough for being with us, talking about what's happening with vaccines in the state of Minnesota.
Of course. Thanks, Freddie.
And you're listening to New Beginnings. If you've received the vaccine, there is some good news.
For fully vaccinated people, if you've been around someone who's had coronavirus, you don't need to stay away from others anymore or get tested unless you develop symptoms. But if you live in a group setting or around someone who has coronavirus, and by group settings, we mean a group home, congregate care facilities, you know, someone who's in a correctional institution, you should still stay away from others for 14 days and get tested, even if you don't have any symptoms.
This message from the Minnesota Department of Health.
Minnesota is home to a robust network of more than 300 food shelves that may be able to offer additional food support to families and individuals who are suffering from hunger. Hunger Solutions can locate a food shelf near you. Call the Minnesota Food Helpline at 1-888-711-1151, 888-711-1151, or use the interactive map at hungersolutions.org. This message powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
And now, our supporting partner, AARP in the Twin Cities.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to New Beginnings. With me now is the Associate State Director for Community Engagement for AARP Minnesota, Mr. Jay Hapala. He joins us regularly on our program, and I'm so glad, Jay, that you're back to talk about retail refund and tech support scams. That sounds pretty nefarious just in the title. Tell us a little bit about, first of all, AARP's Fraud Watch Network.
Sure. Thanks, Freddie. Good to be with you as always. And with AARP here in Minnesota and across the country, we run a program called the Fraud Watch Network, and it's purely designed to help people avoid fraud and identity theft. We take thousands of scam reports every month through our national call center, and then people like me and our fraud fighter volunteers take that information to share with the public, because one of the best ways to avoid losing money is to know about all the different types of scams out there.
Absolutely. And so one of the newer scams, in fact, until we had our warm-up, I never had heard about the retail refund and tech support scams. What are they and how do they operate?
Sure. So we're going to get pretty specific, and it's a little bit complicated here with this type of scam, but people need to know about this because they're losing a lot of money out there. So right now, scammers are impersonating Amazon and Target and other big retailers. They give you a call on the phone, or maybe you see an email with a phone number that you're supposed to call back, and it says you have a refund calling coming to you. And so when people want to get this money that they think they're owed, they call and they end up talking to this scammer, who is a really friendly guy. You know, he's very nice, he's endearing, and you start to like him. And then in order for him to give you your money that you're owed, he convinces you to go to a website and give access to your device, whether it's your computer at home or your smart device, your smartphone. Once they have access to that device, they're going to show you a web page that it looks like it says that you are owed this $100. They'll convince you to sign into your bank account so they can show you that they're making this deposit into your account, except for they're showing their victim a fake website. And it looks like they've accidentally put $3,000 into your bank account.
Here we go.
And then, Now it's time to panic. The scammer puts on this act like he's going to get in trouble. If he makes this mistake and you don't help him get the money back, his boss is going to fire him. And so what the scammer tells the victim to do is go down to the store and get some gift cards, say $2,900 worth of gift cards, so that you can send them to the scammer. And he, you know, as the story goes, he says he won't lose his job if you send those gift cards. And tech support scams can work the same way. You get a call, it says your computer needs to be fixed, and then they convince their victims to go to this website where they can control their computer from a distance.
Wow. Why do they want gift cards?
Yeah, good question. Gift cards are definitely the currency that scammers deal with. And the reason for that is that they're anonymous and untraceable. So whether that bad guy is, you know, over in Wisconsin or in a different part of the world, once they have those numbers off the gift cards, there's no way to trace where they were used or spent. And then they can be traded anonymously in their other sort of criminal activity, whether that's drugs or guns or gang activity and that sort of thing.
Well, I know people are just, their mouths are wide open like mine is. If we anticipate that something like this is happening, what is the first thing that we can do? What should we do to stop the scam?
Yeah, when people get these kind of scams, you certainly should call your local law enforcement department and let them know about it. They may not be able to investigate it, but at least we're collecting that information. And then if people need help and need to know where to go for some help, they can call us. So we run that toll-free number with our Fraud Watch Network. It's 877-908-3360, and then people can go online, too, and get this information. It's aarp.org/fraudwatchnetwork.
All right. Jay Hampel, I can't thank you enough for stopping by and telling us about these scary scams and tech support scams. Thanks for being with us this morning.
You got it. And everyone stay safe out there.
Indeed. And you're listening to New Beginnings.
This is the Real Possibilities Update, your guide to all the exciting things that are happening with AARP in the Twin Cities. Because if you don't think real possibilities in the Twin Cities when you think AARP, well, then you don't know ARP. You see, AARP is hosting free Movies for Grown-Ups screenings at theaters across the metro. They're helping protect families from identity theft and scams with the AARP Fraud Watch Network. And AARP volunteers are helping people in need complete their tax returns free of charge. So whether you're a caregiver, someone who's trying to save for retirement, or if you just want to save money and connect with friends and neighbors for fun at local events, then AARP has resources for you. Get to know AARP and see all the real possibilities right here in the Twin Cities at aarp.org/Twin Cities.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for being with us this weekend. The Biden administration has opened a window for the uninsured. They're saying that adults who lack health coverage and aren't yet of Medicare age have a new window to sign up for a plan under the Affordable Care Act. An executive order issued by President Biden back in January directed the Department of Health and Human Services to reopen the enrollment period at healthcare.gov through May 15th. As many as 15 million Americans are uninsured, that according to a recent estimate by the Kaiser Family Foundation. They say that access to affordable health care coverage is more important now than ever, that according to Nancy Lemond, who happens to be AARP's Chief Advocacy and Engagement Officer, in a letter to Congress last year urging the extension. Many states with their own ACA marketplace have followed the HHS lead and are offering similar extensions. People who have been diagnosed with COVID-19 can still be covered, too. All ACA plans must cover treatment for pre-existing medical conditions, and plans cannot terminate coverage due to a change in health status, including diagnosis or treatment of COVID-19, according to healthcare.gov. And also, depending on your household income, you may be eligible for a subsidy to lower monthly premiums and for assistance with out-of-pocket cost. I have two other ideas for you to consider this weekend. Number one, shopping for life insurance. And prediabetes may not be a health risk if you're 65 and older, and there's been a sharp decrease in life expectancy. Let's talk about life insurance first. If you're applying for life insurance, you may see delays in getting an application approved. That according to the American Council of Life Insurance, a trade group, they're saying in a statement recently, they say demand for life insurance has risen since the start of the pandemic, and as the coronavirus has claimed more than 500,000 American lives. But several large life insurers have restricted sales of policies to older adults. It's become relatively common for survivors of COVID-19 to have life insurance applications postponed for 30 days. That according to Eloise Spinello, she's a life insurance expert with online insurance marketplace Policy Genius. I also mentioned prediabetes. Well, there may be some good news for nearly half of non-diabetic adults over 65 whose elevated blood sugar levels put them in the category of prediabetes. Medical experts have believed that tests showing high blood sugar levels indicating prediabetes greatly increased a person's chance of eventually developing type 2 diabetes, a potentially debilitating disease. But a recent JAMA Internal Medicine study of 3,400 older adults with prediabetes found that only 8% went on to develop diabetes over the next 6 years. They also found that in older adults, prediabetes was not a robust predictor of progression to diabetes. That's according to one Lee study author, Mary Rooney, who is a postdoctoral fellow at Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention found that 47% of Americans over 65 had blood sugar levels higher than normal. And what about that sharp drop in life expectancy? The average life expectancy in the United States plunged in the first half of 2020, with most but not all of the reduction linked to COVID-19. And those figures were expected to get worse when the full impact of the coronavirus pandemic is felt. Overall, Americans could expect to live a full year less than they could in 2019. And the numbers are much worse for African Americans. When full 2020 figures are available, the decline is expected to be greater as COVID-19 deaths rose after June. According to the National Center for Health Statistics, a person born in the United States now could expect to live to 77.8 years based on data from January through June 2020 compared with 78.8 years in 2019, a full year difference. The average life expectancy for a black person dropped by 2.7 years from 74.7 years to just 72. And along with COVID-19, researchers cite an increase in drug overdoses as having a negative impact on lifespans. You're listening to New Beginnings, and I'm Freddie Bell. Still need a COVID-19 vaccine? Visit vaccineconnector.mn.gov to sign up for an appointment at one of the 9 state vaccination sites across Minnesota, St. Paul, Bloomington, Oakdale, Mankato, Duluth, Rochester, Lionel Lake, St. Cloud, and the state fairgrounds. Appointments are available. Roll up your sleeves, Minnesota. Visit vaccineconnector.mn.gov to sign up for an appointment at one of the 9 state vaccination sites across Minnesota. This message from the Minnesota Department of Health and KMLJ.
Introducing the New Beginnings podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the New Beginnings podcast today.
Minneapolis Public Housing is right now on New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning on New Beginnings. And now with us is the property manager for the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center, Kitty Harris. They're located at 1015 4th Avenue North in Minneapolis. If you'd like to reach them by phone, it is 612-344-2221. Kitty Harris, good morning and welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Freddie. How are you?
Unbelievable. I'm so excited for better weather than what we've had in the last few weeks. So
yes.
This is good. My attitude is better, and I think everybody is grateful for it. Many things going on at the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center, and not at the level that it used to be pre-COVID, but I get the sense that things are starting to come back a little bit so far in the first quarter.
Yes, we are very excited that we are slowly kind of seeing ourselves again and seeing a little bit of vibrancy around what we used to be. As you said, definitely not at the level in which we used to operate for our community and for our seniors, but certainly getting there. And that's been made possible by just hosting vaccine clinics, not only for the community, but for our on-site partners. And so we're very happy that our senior rock group, Alive and Kicking, we were able to ensure that their entire cast ensemble received the vaccines. And so we are in preparation to start planning some outdoor concert series that we will do in our parking lot over at 1015 4th Avenue North upcoming this summer. And additionally, we have been offering community vaccines through Lau Assistance Center, which is one of our newer partners. And so as we've been able to offer these things, we have been able to start planning some more community programs and events more focused on health. So we are very excited that we will be able to host a breast cancer event, and it's going to be on Thursday, May the 27th, in partnership with the Lau Community Center. And so we're very excited to get back to what we have been doing, which is providing those health and wellness events for our community.
I know the community really depends a lot on the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center. That's really a hub in the city. So tell us about the registration, if there is any needed for the big event on May 27th.
So if anybody is interested in receiving services for the breast cancer event, they can give the staff at the Lau Assistance Center of Minnesota a call. They can reach them at 612-450-4645. That's the program manager for their women's health. And one of the reasons why this is such a great partnership is the Lao Assistance Center brings not only a strong, they've been in North Minneapolis for over 20 years, so they have such a strong presence, but their ability to reach our Lao American population in Minnesota and to help bridge that gap, not only with another minority community, but help with that language barrier, has been such a strong asset to our partnership over at Cora McCorvey.
Wow. So how can we register for the event for the Awareness Center?
So if anybody wants to get more information, 612-344-2221 mm-hmm. or 612-450-4645. And as the summer continues to open up, we will continue to advertise all of our community programs and events on our Facebook page under Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center.
All right. That's Kitty Harris. She's a property manager for the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center. Thanks for being with us, and you're listening to New Beginnings. As we continue with New Beginnings, we now turn to Unity South in the Twin Cities, where the Reverend James Stacy is the senior minister. More information is found at unitysouth.org. Here now is the Reverend James Stacy with a lesson already in progress.
In other words, we all live our lives filled with distinctions of how we hold our identity separate or in distinction to others. But Dr. Katie reminds us, in truth, there is no difference among us. That is a powerful idea. From this higher perspective, distinctions or divisions offer no real difference in truth. In that perspective of the high watch. Well, I want to give you several different examples of being willing or not. Remember, you always have a choice. God has given you the choice to make. Well, here's one. A few years ago, a good friend in Unity, actually a Unity leader, told me in conversation, you know, the Daily Word, I just don't like how they write it anymore. I don't even like how they punctuate the sentences. It's just not the same. So I canceled my subscription. And I thought to myself, well, okay. But the style of Daily Word has, of course, evolved and changed over the many decades since it began in 1924. But if we're going to make an issue of exactly how it's worded, or I'm exaggerating, how the sentences are punctuated, and say, I won't participate in the Daily Word process because I don't like how it's written. Think about it. The whole purpose of the Daily Word was to bring people together in a collective thought, a word, and to be willing to hold that in a daily time of silence, reflection, meditation. And to say, I won't participate because I only liked how it was written in the 1940s, defeats the whole purpose, the whole intention of the Daily Word. Now, Silent Unity also provides us with the monthly prayer services that they write and make available worldwide. And we hold that prayer service here, not only in this service, but Monday through Thursday at 11 o'clock. And we do it exactly as Silent Unity has prepared it for us. And I and our Unity prayer chaplains that help with that service, they take the devotion seriously. And they don't say, well, you know, I don't like what Silent Unity put out this month. or I don't like how they express that, so I'm not going to do it. No, there is a higher calling, a higher purpose. It's being willing to come together in an intention, even though the actual wording, and in jest, the punctuation, is not exactly how we would choose to do it. What is the higher purpose, the higher intention that we come together in, rather than the physical words? Here's another example, quite different. You may be aware of it, or you may not. It's relatively new. But our board of directors at Unity South have been looking at cost-cutting measures and also ways to increase our abundance, such as the Valentine baskets that have been so successful, but also look at where we can fine-tune our expenditures so that we can come into line with the income that we have been experiencing in 2020 and now into this year. So there is an intention to do good for the church overall by our board of directors' choices in certain cost-cutting measures. Now, is each decision exactly what I want and what every member of the board wants? No, we have different ideas about how things are done. But we're learning we can come together in that higher intention. I am willing to support these measures of our expenditures at Unity South. I can support that even though individual items may not be my personal choice. Do you hear me? We can work together for a higher purpose, even if the little details are not what each one of us would choose if we were in charge of the entire world. Another example of willingness. I was talking to my good friend Sandra Campbell at Unity Temple in Kansas City, and she actually asked for my help. She's always calling me her mentor, and I just laugh at that. I said, "You're my mentor. You're teaching me." And so we have a little discussion about who's teaching who, who's helping who. But Sandra developed at Unity Temple, and now many churches around the country have taken it up, a project called Courageous Conversations. She presented it here when she visited our church. And she said, it's an attempt through education for people to come together and look at the experiences of our society in terms of racism, in terms of divisions and distinctions that we're holding. And through the conversation, we open up our hearts and our minds. But Sandra said, I just heard from a Unity Center that has quite a large group in a certain part of our country. And they're being challenged by members within the group that are still expressing what seem to be racist ideas. Education alone will not do it. Sandra said she remembered an old expression that sort of speaks to this. A person convinced against their will is of the same opinion still. People cannot be forced to change through a group discussion, through teamwork. They have to be willing to let go the distinctions that they've applied. Well, I learned from another case. This happened around the time of the events in Charlottesville, and I heard this individual lecture 2 years ago at the Chautauqua Institution in New York State. Risa Golubov is the first woman ever to be dean of the great School of Law at the University of Virginia, Charlottesville.
You just heard a message coming from the Reverend James Stacy, the senior minister of Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at their website at unitysouth.org.
Did you know that now you can see and hear Sunday morning services from Unity South Twin Cities? Search Unity South Twin Cities online and Facebook and catch the live stream Sunday mornings at 10:30 on Facebook.com.
If you are ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. That's RippleConnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. For more information, RippleConnects.com.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. Thanks for making us a part of your weekend on New Beginnings. For Joe McKenzie, this is Freddie Bell reminding you that every day is a chance for a new beginning. We'll see you next week and online. Goodbye, everybody.